Okay, Rabbi Yisai, let's begin. Let's start from page 266. Okay, page 266 in Amos Pasuk Beis Vayoymar. We have over here one of the rear ta'amim, Ishal Sheles. You notice that rear ta'amim Vayoymar? Okay, so Pasuk Beis, it's Perek Aleph Pasuk Beis Vayoymar Hashem. So we spent almost a week, I think, going through the introduction to Sefer Amos. And now we go into the second pasuk. Vayomar Hashem said. Well, Vayomar means that Amos said in the name of Hashem, Hashem, Mitzion Yishog, Umirushalayim Yitain Kol Hashem. Hashem has given forth it from Mitzion Yishog, he roars, Umirushalayim Yitain Kol, gives forth his voice, the Avlu Ne'ois Torayim, and the Ne'ois, the pleasant pastures of the shepherds will mourn. The Avei Shrosha Carmel, and the Carmel is the orchard. The orchard will dry up. And let's see what this means. Let's see the Mitzvot David, Pasuk Beis. Pasuk Beis is the Mitzvot David, the Avlu, Inyan Hashchase. Now, Avlu, I translate as to mourn. He's translated with Avlu. We had this before. It doesn't really mean to mourn. Avlu means, it means Hashchase, means destruction. It means destruction, which means that the earth, Inyan Hashchasa Kamei V'Av, I'm sorry, I read the Mitzvah Sion. Okay, the Mitzvah Sion translates with Avla to mean destruction. Let's see the Mitzvah David, Pasuk Beis in the Mitzvah David, again on page 266. Mitzion Yishag, Ritzon Elomar, Mimukoyim Shechnoi Yishag. He's translating Tzion to be the place of his abode. He roars, La'ayim u'la'achri, to scare, to terrify, u'mi'ushalayim, kofal ha'davar b'mila shaynais, typical of the mitzudos, to tell us in just poetic repetition, the avlu, mikol shagosa yishochasu midorei horoyim, it will become destroyed, the dwelling places, the no'is means the pastures of the shepherds, the midorei horoyim, heim, Heichle Malche Umayis, and he's translated this as a metaphor. Here it's interesting that the Mitzudos is doing something that is not as derech. The Mitzudos always likes to translate the words very literally, and here he's telling us that this is a metaphor for the kings and the leaders. The leaders of the Jewish people who are living in beautiful palaces and beautiful homes, and now their homes, their abodes will be destroyed. The palaces, the Malchei Umayis, and he translates not as the Jewish people, as the kings of the world. Rosh HaKarmel, the top, Rosh here means the mate of the best. Carmel means like an orchard. Carmel can mean many things. Here it really means like the fields. The economy. The economy is going to go kaput. The world economy will sink. Let's see Rashi. Rashi, Pasuk Beis, Mitzion Yeshag, Mibes, Kochei HaKadoshim, Hadibur Yoytzei. From the Kodesh HaKadoshim, does Hashem's word go forth? The Avlu Ne'ois Harayim, Vitzadoin Midori Malchaya, V'Yechrav Tekoif Karchehoin. Vitzadoin, it means, I actually don't know what the word means, Vitzadoin. Anyone know what the word means?
He has the dwellings
okay.
of the king that follows him.
Okay.
Mador, right?
Right. And the next word, the most important word, is how he attached the word Ovlu. Vitzadoin. Vitzadoin.
Shall become desolate.
Okay, so he's learning, the word Vitzadoin is translating to the same meaning as the Mitzudos. It means destroyed or desolate. Does not mean mourning. We typically use the word Ovloi Evel as mourning. Here there is an unusual translation of the word.
The boat?
That's with Noos. Noos.
Instead of Avel, I was thinking maybe the shorish is Novol to wither.
Novol to wither.
Deteriorate.
I hear what you're saying. To deteriorate. Novol. Okay, no, it makes a lot of sense.
Shorish is also another name for your Jerusalem.
What?
Could be a name for your
Jerusalem. What?
Noos.
Okay, that's the next one. Let's first focus on the word Ovlu. Why are they translating everyone here so far Ovlu to mean to be destroyed, not the typical translation mourn? Obviously, that's not the way you spell it. Evel. It should be Evlu. The Evloi Noos Harayim. I think it means that if it would mean mourning, it would be spelled with a segel. Mayevsky, is that correct? It would be spelled with a segel, probably. The evloi ne'os harayim. The fact that it says with an komatz, the ovlu, it's a different word. And Michal is suggesting that the word ovlu is related to the word novol. The aleph sometimes is just padded. And the ikka word is the beis in the lamba, the nun fell away. And that would mean, it means novel, ne'os harayim. What? Bola also. Bola means to be just the base in the lamed. Bola means to wither. Very good. He's saying really, really good. That it means it will be withered, desolate, destroyed, the pastures of the shepherds. And this is the metaphor for the kings. And the Yavesh Rosh HaKarmel. And he translates the Yechar will be destroyed. The Yavesh, the Rashi translates from the Targum to be destroyed. To Koif Roish, he translates as the power, the might, the pride of the cities. The Karmel. Rashi is translating from the Targum. It's a word for a krach, kirak kehoin, not like the Mitsudos that says it means. That he doesn't really translate the Karmel in the Mitsudos.
Da tzion.
Yeah.
He translates it as the fruitful land.
Right. That's the Mitsudos. The Mitsudos is translating the word. Look at the Mitsudos tzion. Karmel shushem koilel lumkoim sodois ukiramin, vineyards, fields and vineyards. The Targum is translating the word Carmel as a city. And Roish, the Mitsudos, translates as the best. And the Targum translates Roish as the Tekoif, the power, the authority, the might of the cities. Okay, so basically, so far, all we learn over here is so far very, 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 very one shot. One thing I want to draw your attention to, that Rashi here says that Tzion is a reference to the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Okay, so this is a major, major topic of discussion. What is the difference between Tzion and Yerushalayim? There are so many Perushim. The most simplistic translation is Tzion represents the spiritual essence of Yerushalayim, the metaphysical element, dimension of Yerushalayim, whereas Yerushalayim represents the mortar, the brick and stones. Okay, the wood and stones, the physical dimension of Yerushalayim. That is very common. That's a very simplistic difference between Tzion and Yerushalayim. There's another very, very popular interpretation, is that Tzion refers to Ir David. What's Ir David? In Yerushalayim itself, there was a special section that was miyuchad, designated for the kings, for David HaMelech. And Yerushalayim is the larger, expansive area. Here, Rashi is telling us something different. He's telling us that Tzion is a code word for the Kodesh HaKodoshim. Right, so you have Ki Mitzion Teitzei Sar. So according to Rashi, it would then mean, if you inject this interpretation from the Kodesh HaKodoshim, is Teitzei Torah. Because what is in the Kodesh HaKodoshim? The Aron. And what's on the Aron? The Luchos. And the Luchos is the Torah, Kabbalah Satorah. So it fits very nicely. Ki Mitzion, from the Kodesh HaKadosh, from the place of the Aron HaKodesh, where the Luchos are, which is the Makor of the Torah, Teitzei Sarah, Udvar Hashem, the word of Hashem, the Yerushalayim. Here, you have to explain what that means.
But does Rashi do this consistently?
No, he does not.
Okay.
And obviously, it all depends on the context. It all depends on the context. You can probably put together, compile at least 15 Perushim to explain the difference between Tzion and Yerushalayim. And the truth is, there's a Beferish of Gemara in Masechta, I forgot what the Gemara is, where it says that Tzion is the Even Shesia. That's the best interpretation, because it's a Beferish of Gemara. All of these things over here are Rishonim, telling you Perushim. The Gemara explicitly says, there's a Machlokes in the Gemara, from where did Hashem begin to create the world? In Yom Yoma, Parashas Bereishis, did Hashem begin to create the world from the center, or did Hashem begin to create the world from the ends, and it all came into the, and it all concluded by coming into the center? In other words, that's Machlokes the Gemara. One opinion says Hashem started in the center location, and it began to expand, and it never came to an end. Right, the world is continuing to expand. The other Tana says, no, the world is finished. I mean, I'm giving you my interpretation. Hashem started from the end, and it all came and concluded in the center. That would seem to indicate that the world is finite. Because if Hashem started from the end, it came including the center, and the opinion that says that the world began in the center, and from there it spread, what is the center? The center is the Even Shesia. It's the Even Shesia. And the Gemara quotes a pasuk that says, that uses the word Tzion as, I don't remember the Gemara, but maybe for tomorrow, I'll believe it, I'll show you that, if I remember to bring it. To cite you chapter and verse, and the Gemara uses the word Tzion as a reference to the Even Shesia. So the Gemara explicitly says that Tzion, at least according to one Tana, means the Even Shesia. Okay, we once spoke about this on Tisha B'Av, is that there were five things that happened on Tisha B'Av. And the first thing was the Meraglim. The second was the Churban Bayis Rishon, Bayis Sheni, Churban of Beitar. And the fifth thing is, they plowed over the Har HaBayis. Tzion, Basoder, Tichorash. So if you think about it, it's super duper bizarre how you can equate plowing over the Har HaBayis with the first four things in the list. The Meraglim could not be something worse than Klal Yisrael rejecting Eretz Yisrael. It's the makor for all the tzaras. The Churban Bayis Rishon, devastating. Churban Bayis Sheni, devastating. Beitar, it was even worse than the Bayis Rishon and the Bayis Sheni. Beitar, the Churban of Beitar.
In terms of numbers,
how the Asar Rugi Malchus, the devastation of Churban Beitar was just off the charts. Okay? And then, Tzion was plowed over.
That there was nothing there. It was
no one was hurt. No blood was spilled. No one got hurt. And you know something? Meisim b'chol yom. Look what's doing on the Har HaBayis today.
That's where I was going
to
go.
Is anyone here losing sleep over it?
Trying to erase history.
Anyone losing sleep over what's going on in the Har HaBayis today? What?
Some over there.
Okay, some, but few and far in between. So you're going to put together in a list of five horrible tragedies that Tzion was plowed over with the four other things which are just off the charts? So obviously there's something that has to be discussed. First of all, what is and what does the Gemara say? It says, Tzion basodeh techorash. So Rav Moshe Shapiro, Zecher Tzadik Levracha, he says, what is this? What he has this kasha. And he basically says, well, you first have to know what is Tzion. What is Tzion? And he quotes the Gemara.
Where did you see this?
I saw this on the volume. They're like now they put out a...
But where did you see it?
I saw that maybe in an Afikayam.
Okay.
Afikayam, yeah. In the back, one of the sections there. And he asked this question, what is the last doing with the first four? And he says, well, you have to first understand what is the meaning of Tzion. And he quotes the Gemara that the definition of Tzion, to the shock and surprise of everyone you've ever met, is the Even Shesia. Not like Rashi that says the Kodesh HaKadoshim, the spiritual dimension of Yerushalayim, the Ir David. Tzion is the Even Shesia. And his idea basically is, as long as on the Har HaBayis there was an Even Shesia, there was hope. There was hope that the Beis HaMikdash would one day be rebuilt. When the Goyim took away the Even Shesia, they covered it over, Klal Yisrael, they lost hope. Losing hope is worse than the Holocaust and all the Churbanos put together. With all of the tragedies, Rachmana Litzlan, as long as Klal Yisrael has hope, a person has something to look forward to, there's always the possibility that better days are yet to come. But when you take away a person's hope, his tikva, finished, there's nothing. Okay? And I'm not a Zionist here, but you know, it's not for nothing that the hatikva. I'm not an anti-Zionist. Okay, I'm not either, but it's not a coincidence that hatikva is all about, you know, It's not a, I know you'll tell me, I know what there is to say about Hatikva. Don't, you know, you go, I'll give you a whole speech on Hatikva. But, you know, Dvarim, you know, it's Siyon Balat. He wasn't a Zionist or an anti-Zionist either, right? I think I'm the same Ashkafa as Rav Moshe. And he talks about that what is in Klal Yisrael and Golos, it's all about Tikva. It's all about hope. And the Churban, the last Churban of covering over the Even Shesia, that was worse.
Why is that? I mean, they just plowed over it. I mean, I don't see what...
They hit it. Like it's really like what Rav Mechol is saying, is that they destroyed the Beis HaMikdash. But you cannot deny history that there once was the Beis HaMikdash here.
Right.
And the Shoresh of the Beis HaMikdash is the Even Shesia.
We knew which stone it was?
Yes, yes, yes,
we
yes.
Knew which stone it was.
Absolutely, absolutely. It says that
the second Beis HaMikdash.
That's what
that
they
was
did.
The place of
the Kodesh HaKadoshim. They did the Zrika. There was no Oroin, but the Kodesh, it says even the Piyutim, Atokonanta, on the Yom HaKippurim. And the other, the Nusach Ashkenaz is, what's the Nusach Ashkenaz? Atokonanta is Svart, how can I forget this? Is, okay, whatever it is, in the Piyutim that we recite on Yom HaKippurim, they did the Zrika, so of course they knew where it was. And as long as it existed, even though there was no longer a Beis HaMikdash, people can see the Even Shesia, this was a source of inspiration. The day will come, the words of the Nevi'im will come true, there will be the rebuilding of the Beis HaMikdash. When the Goyim took away the Even Shesia, in essence, they were doing what Rav Mechol is saying, is they're rewriting history. There never was the Beis HaMikdash, nothing was ever over here, and unfortunately, many Jews fell for it. And it took away from them the hope, the yearning, that there should be a Geula Shleima. So it's an incredible thing. No blood was spilled. No one was hurt. Yet, the Churban of Tzion, taking away the Even Shesia, was worse than the first four put together. The Amiraglim, Bayis Rishon, Bayis Sheni, Beitar. You have emuna. It's something what to be said. So here, it's not a small thing here where it says Hashem mitzion yishog. Hashem roars forth from Tzion. Tzion is, according to the Gemara, it's the best, most authentic translation of the word Tzion. I don't know. I really don't know. It was a shock. When I first saw this from Moshe Shapiro, I was like, what? Who ever heard of this? What are you talking about? Tzion means the Even Shesia. Whoever heard this? And he quotes the Gemara. And I look up the Gemara. It's Imanish, it couldn't be more explicit that Tzion, in the way the Gemara interprets the Pasuk of the creation of the world, the Gemara says that Tzion is the Even Shesia. It's the Makor, and that means every time you read about Tzion, like even in this Pasuk, Hashem is taking us back to Berias Ha'olam. It's Parshas Bereishis. We're going back to Bereishis Bara Elokim Es HaShamayim V'Es HaAretz. Where did the creation of the earth begin? Or where did it end? Okay, that's the Machlokes we just discussed. Where did it begin? And the truth is, Elu V'Elu Divrei Elokim Chaim. In the Bria, there are two dimensions. We said the difference between the interpretations of the Gemara, did the world begin from the Even Shesia and extend outwards, which means the world is continuously expanding? Or does it mean that HaKadosh Baruch Hu started from the ends of the earth and the Bria came into the center, which would indicate that the world, the Bria came to an end? They're both correct. They're both, there is an element in Bria of continuous expansion.
Is this probably where you were looking?
Yeah, I mean, I didn't see that. I saw it here in the little letters. Does it have the little letters? Yeah, I saw it over here in the back.
Oh, okay.
See? But it's the same thing, right? Yeah. It's both them up together. Right? The same idea, right? It's a very, very powerful maimer.
In the
So there, what does it mean? Obviously, it doesn't mean there. It doesn't really fit well in that expression. Avelates, and those who mourn over the Even Shesia. Okay, it's a very deep idea. Obviously, it's not the common translation. We don't translate like that. Okay, let's go further. Let's move ahead. Let's take a look over here at the Radak. The Radak Pasik Beis. Vayoymar. Omar Mitzion Umirushalayim Kisham Shekhinasai. V'inyin Kafel B'mila Shainais. The Radak over here is not getting involved in the difference between the two different words. V'chein Yishak V'itin Koiloi. Repetition. V'inyin Hashaoga Unesinas Hakol Derech Moshel Al Hanavuah. These two expressions of roaring and giving forth a voice is a mashal for prophecy. Kemosh Amar, Arye Sha'og Milo Yira. The lion roars, are you not afraid? Hashem Elokim Diber Milo Yinave. If Hashem speaks, do you not give over your prophecy? The Avlu Unhu Zotiyah Sheye Evlu Neois Haroyim Me'atziras HaGeshamim. Now notice here, the Radak disagrees with Rashi and the Mitzudais. He makes believe that the word Ovloi Komatz was spelled with a segol. And that's what we said in the beginning. Why did Rashi and the Mitzudos disagree? Did not simply translate the word to mean mourning? Because it's not spelled, it's not, the nikud is incorrect. It should have said ve'evloi.
Right.
And the fact that it says ovilu, there's even a meseg there, which means it has, it's a tenor gedoyla, the o, and there's a shva na, means that it's a whole new word.
Yeah.
And I think what you're saying is very good, because Avel, the Aleph, is part of the Shoresh. Okay? When you have a komatz under a letter that basically is saying that the first letter is to be separated from the following letters. So, Tenua Gedoyla, the O, how do you know, what's the indication? When you get to the Beis, you have to start all over again. It's a Shva Na, which basically is telling you that do not include the Aleph in the Shoresh. So what then is the Shoresh? Like you said, Bola. Bola means to get worn out, to wither, to be destroyed. So the fact that here there's a Komatz, and not just a Komatz, there could be a Komatz Gedoyla, there could be a Komatz Katan. A Komatz Katan, which it's rare, but there are many there, it's not so rare, but Komatz Katan, then it would be Ovlu, then maybe you can still finagle it to say that it means mourning. But the fact that it's a komatz with a little line next to it, which means it's a tenua gedoyla, which forces us to pronounce the beis as a v, it's a shva na, that indicates that the aleph is not part of the shoresh, and what you said is very, very good, it means bola. But obviously the Radak disagrees. The Radak says over here that it's lashon of evel, he's saying yeval, it will mourn, sheyevlu will mourn, ne'ois, Haroyim Me'atziras HaGeshamim. Minchashai, see anything over here? No, there isn't any Minchashai in this? No, there's no Minchashai over here. Okay, I don't see Minchashai. Maybe you can tell us if there's some different Messiah. Fine. Any of that next? Next words? You know, I really take it back, because the truth is, even though he discusses in the next paragraph, so let's go further. The next words are V'yavshu Rosh HaKarmel Retzolema Meitav HaKarmel, the best. The Akarmel, whose shame kolol lemokam zera sadais ukuramim, refers to fields and orchards. The atoy v'hadashin shabo yeval will mourn kmo kol shekain harozeh shabo, certainly the impoverished, the fields that are not of good quality. The avlu, okay, he really discussed this topic we just mentioned. Inyan, he says inyan hashchasa the hefset kmo shomar al kain te'eval haaretz. Now there is over there a but there it's a segel. There it's a segel. V'adam loy v'yesh l'farsh a pasuk derech moshul who tchilas devarim l'masha amar achakach koyamar Hashem.
Because of the letter preceding.
Okay. All right. Let's leave for now. We'll leave for now. Koyamar Hashem chaytig b'nisim derech moshul v'itzadoin v'midorei malchayu v'yakrav tekoyf karkecha. And this is just the moshul, is that Eretz Yisrael, the world, will cease to exist as the way we know it, due to what he's going to say. Let's take a look at the Malbim. We already did the Mincha Gedoyla, that was part of the whole discussion with the Hakdama. The Malbim says Vayomar, Malbim Pasuk Beis Kvar Perashi Sheshiur Hakosav Ashechazav Vayomar Shenosayim Lifnei Horash. This is going back to the Hakdama. This event took place 2 years before an earthquake. Like we said when we started, is that this event, the earthquake, was like Lahavdil 9/11. There was the world before 9/11, and there's the world after 9/11. And every major event in this world is before World War II and after World War II. you talk about Lahavdil Elif Alf and Velos Gedele Yisrael. They say, before the Petir of the Chazon Ish, and after the Petir, it's a different world. It's a different world, a whole different world. So too, the earthquake, we don't appreciate this, but the people living in these times, in the Nevi'im, and if you study Tanakh, there was the world before the earthquake, and there was the world after the earthquake. It was a different world. Because the earthquake represented the moment of transition of the corruptness, the sins of Klal Yisrael reached a level where basically it was a point beyond return. It was now, it was the good old days when we were going up on a high. There was David and Shlomo, Rechavam, and things were good. Klal Yisrael was growing. Okay, there was a machlokes, no Yoram ben Nevat, but that could have been ironed out. That wasn't meant to last forever. That machlokes between Rechavam and Yoravam, it was only meant to last for one generation. It was not meant to last forever. And it was meant to be reconciliation. But things got out of hand. And when Uzziah became so corrupt, where he felt that he can be the Kohen Gadol, and he breached his limitations, power corrupts, absolute power corrupts absolutely. That moment was the transition where it was beyond the point of return. And that's the earthquake. So this was 2 years before the earthquake. Oz nibe ala rasha Hashem yishag mitzion. Ki arash hishil mitzion. That's where it started. V'sham hoya shaga g'doyla v'yishalayim ho'ir. Yitin kolo shukotet mish'aga. The word yitin kolo is less than sh'aga. Ki arash hispashet mitzion. The rash, the commotion began from Tzion li Yerushalayim, umisham l'chol ori eretz Yisrael, v'nosan koiloi oiz, shukol harash asher hirgiz eretz imukoymo v'yamudecha yispalotzun. That's later on. It's the earth began to crumble. Ze nevua achas sheni be'koydem boya. This is one of many prophecies that he gave over before that event happened. Nevua shnia. There's another nevuah. He's breaking this up into two nevuahs. Is that the earth will be destroyed? That's where there was always fresh grain. So what he's saying over here is he's saying something very, very profound in Malvam. This goes back to the Rambam. The Rambam says in order for a Navi to establish himself, he has to prove that he is emes. How does he prove? He has to give a sign. The way a Navi proves that he is a Navi emes, he makes a prediction. He tells you an event will happen. According to the Malbim, he's telling us this is the credentials. The beginning of Sefer Amos is presenting his smicha, his credentials, ksav rabbonus. I am a legitimate Navi because 2 years before the earthquake, he predicted it would happen. He predicted, he's fatayachik, something very, very powerful. That's how the Maal is saying. When it says here, mitzion yishog, that's the earthquake. Mitzion yishog is the spiritual element, the spiritual dimension of the physical earthquake. And what was the consequence? The earth went into a panic, and there was no food. There was the economy collapsed. The avlu ne'ois harayim, the avesh roish hakarmel. Everything collapsed. Buildings fell down. People died. Society ceased to exist in a way that we know it. It was non-functional, dysfunctional society until they were able to recover. And who predicted all of this in advance? 2 years in advance. None other than Amos. And this is the beginning of Sefer Amos. He's presenting his credentials. That's a very beautiful idea. Because in the other Sefer Nevi'im, you don't have that. You don't have that. The other Nevi'im, the Mepharshim tell us that the opening line of the Pasuk is coming, where he's coming to present his credentials. Okay, now.
But he's also, obviously, if there's going to be a 2-year waiting period, let's say, to see if his prediction comes true, then presumably the people should be listening this morning, right?
Today 2 years is like a million years. Today after 5 minutes, people lose their attention. If he was operating on today's attention span, he would have to make the prediction literally 5 minutes before it happened. Yeah, otherwise, they would remember him. Who? 2 years ago? Who was that 2 years ago? Who was he? Okay, so they, time operated much, much slower years ago.
Yeah,
today, news cycle is, you know, it used to be the news cycle was like a week. Then it went down to, you know, every 3 days. Then it went down, I mean, a couple of years ago, a news cycle was every 12 hours. Now I think a news cycle, so even less.
20 minutes.
People are checking their...
22 minutes?
People here in this room, they check their smartphone every 5 minutes. Just in case, you know, the world came to an end. You want to be the first one to know.
Yeah?
Yeah.
You know, the famous New York Times headline, "World ends, women and minorities most affected."
Say it again, "World ends."
World women. Ends, women and minorities most affected.
Never.
Thanks, Kevin.
Okay. Now, one curious item here, which I don't have an interpretation. Maybe you know, you could have an idea. Why is there a shalshelas? Vayoymar. Look, it's one of the rare tamim. You have to look at the other times we have a shalshelas. Where was the first shalshelas in the Torah? The son-in-law of Lot. The Edim. The Edim always, when the Shver tells you to do something, Vayisimama, they delayed. The Shver told them, pack up and we're going. The Edim said, what does the Shver want from us? What does Lot want from us? And they delayed. Vayisimama, it goes on and on. There's a long delay. What?
They were Democrats.
They delayed. What are they doing?
Obstruction
of justice. But what do they do? What's it called in Congress? Where they have speeches forever?
Filibuster,
right? The filibuster. By his snavah, it's big match. A filibuster. You know? Try it. You'll see. So over here, what is in Vayomar? What here is the significance of Amos, of Vayomar, with this long drawn out trump? Obviously, it means that I'm assuming it means that he didn't say it once. He gave over the message many times. He knocked it into them. He let them know his message was drawn out. People were very familiar with what he had to say. Possibly, maybe that's why we have over here it's a limud.
Did they go against him? Would they violate the other?
We learned in the Mincha Gedolah, we did come across something. I don't remember anymore. I already forgot. I think they were not a very... None of the Levim had a very pleasant experience. Okay, to what degree, how he feared relative to Yirmiyah, who was the worst, he suffered the most. Yeshayah suffered pretty much, suffered quite a bit. Yecheskel all suffered, but to what degree, I don't know. Let's see. Koyamar Hashem, now we pass the Gemara. Koyamar Hashem, so says Hashem, al shleisha, now this is the al pishay damesek. V'al arba loy ashivim. This is a very famous theme, 3 and 4. We have this by many nations, by Klal Yisrael as well. The theme of 3 and 4, we have to really come to appreciate what is the significance. Obviously, what does 3 and 4 mean to us? The most significant understanding of 3 and 4, the avos and the imahos, the shloish avos, Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, and Sar, Rivka, Rachel, and Leah. Now, here we're using it by the goyim, but it's used by us as well. We have it by Klal Shloisha. Hashem used the same exact expression when he wants to punish us, and now we're going to use this by multiple nations. So it's something to be discussed, why we pick upon the theme of 3 and 4 and how we connect it to the other nations. But here he's first discussing Koyim HaShem Al Shalosha Pishei Damesek V'al Arba'o Loya Ashivenu. For 3 sins of Damesek I tolerated, that's one translation, but the 4th sin I will no longer Ashivenu, I will no longer allow you to do Teshuvah. I will no longer, we have to see a more precise translation, but I will no longer, I'm just loosely translating it to me now, I will no longer tolerate. I've allowed you to get away with it 3 times. But the 4th time, I will no longer allow you to get away with it, I'll no longer tolerate. And now he begins to discuss, Al Dusham b'charutzoy sabarzel es hagilad. Dusham means to crush. You crushed with charutzos means pegs, with splinters, with nails, iron nails. Charutzos means spikes. Charutzos habarzel iron spikes es ha-Gilad, the nation of Gilad. You didn't just defeat your enemy. You tortured them. You tortured them by creating sharp iron spikes and stepping on them to suck out their blood, to torture them. That is inexcusable. Just because you may feel a need to defeat, to conquer another nation, does not give you the right to torture them. The fact that you went so far to do something so cool like this, to go and craft iron spikes and step upon your enemy and Gilad and cause them enormous torture and pain, these are my creatures. You don't behave like this. You don't do this to another human being. You don't torture someone like this. And therefore, for this, I will not tolerate, and you will suffer the consequences. Next word, next pasuk, v'shilachti esh beveis chazoel, thus I will send forth a fire on Damascus, that the capital of Damascus is Chazoel, the Ochla, and it will consume Amnos, the palaces of Ben-Hadad. These are places in Damascus, which is today Syria, right? Damascus is Syria, Damascus, and that means that Syria is called Aram Tzoiva. Normally, we associate Syria with Aram Tzoiva. Aram Tzoiva was the place that David Kibush Yochid, was also a Chelik of Eretz Yisrael to a degree, David HaMelech conquered Aram Tzoiva. It's not for nothing that today Syria has always been a nation that never goes away. They're always in the news. No matter what, it's just amazing. You can't get rid of them. Okay, Libya, we don't hear about it anymore. Iraq, we don't hear about. Egypt, we don't really hear about them so much. Once in a while, they flare up. Syria, it never goes away. You notice that? Even Lebanon. How often do you hear about Lebanon? You know, you hear about them. Exist. What? But you don't. You ever hear about? Everyone. But
Iran.
Only recently hear about it. Only
there are various reasons.
Okay, yeah. but Syria somehow it's there's something very spiritual about Syria. It's something very. What is that? It's Kibush Yoch. David HaMelech had this thing with it. We don't really understand what was about it. Why did David HaMelech feel the need to expand Eretz Yisrael and conquer Aram Tzoiva and include it in Eretz Yisrael, and he created a whole new area of halacha called Kibush Yochid? We want a manashach. If Klal Yisrael conquers it, it's part of Eretz Yisrael. We have the power to conquer land and to sanctify it. There's such a thing. You can do it. You can mamash sanctify it, and you can make it part of Kedushas Haaretz to a degree. But a yachid can't. If a wealthy individual in Klal Yisrael goes and he purchases land next to Eretz Yisrael, he can stand on his head. It cannot become part of the Kedushas Haaretz. So David was the melech, and David did it. So what status does it have? Well, mitzad echad, David is acting as the melech, so it is acting in the place of Klal Yisrael, but yet it's only called a yachid.
Was it permanent?
So that's the whole question. It's a very complicated thing. And over here, we're discussing over here, this is a very, very, very complicated area of halacha and hashkafa to define what is Aram Tzoiva, what is going on. And that's also today, and you see today, it's something which is very mysterious. Syria has always been something which has kept the world very busy. Next, Pasik. The first thing that Trump did,
of significance in international affairs
was he bombed Syria. He bombed the
ISIS.
Yeah, so I mean, and every day in their news, Russia and Israel and America, it doesn't go away. And it's not gone away.
Right.
And it's obviously coming to the times of Mashiach, Malchus David, and Syria, Aram Tzoiva, has something to do with Mashiach, because Malchus David, it's Kibush David. David HaMelech, he saw something there which is very important to bring about the Geula. Has to be. And we're living now in Ikvus of the Mashiach. Things are happening there that we have no control over. And it's definitely related. Okay, let's take a look over here at Pasuk Gimel. Pasuk Gimel, the Metzudos David. Maybe we'll find some information here. Pasuk Gimel and Pasuk Dal in the Metzudos David. Al Shalosha Pishei Damesek Yitochen Sheheim ha-peshaim ha-roshiyim ha-chamur mikulam. Veheim avodazara gilyagrayus ha-shvichastab. So what are the three things? Sheneam nimsa b'chol eila ha-niskanim po. Or it's an aloima. Ha-im ha-roish al-shloishes ha-peshaim ha-roshiyim v'al-hoisofas pesha ha-viv. Le-oshiv le-gimuloi b'roishai bitmiya. So he's telling us over here is that there are four different sins. The first thing, the three are avodazara, gilyarayis, shvichastamim, and the fourth sin is torture. The torturing of a human being. Should I just ignore? Do you think I should just ignore them? Lo al dusham. What does it mean, dusham? Now, when he says over here the word ashivenu means I should punish. To be meshiv gimul. To return retribution. Tit for tat.
Payback.
Payback. Now, number four, what's the fourth sin? The fourth sin is the torturing of another human being. Al dusham, ato yifaresh, mahu apesha horivi, sheyeshalim lof agamol, yamashu al shedoshu. They pressed. They treated them like grain. You step on grain with spikes to separate, to crush, to separate the kernel from the chaff. Ashe al shedoshu es anshe gilad b'chli barzel molei chanitzim, Osui ladush boit hatvu, which is used normally to crush grain. Pasik dalit vishilachti. Therefore, what will be the punishment, the consequence? Lochein ashalach eish bebeis chazoel ritzin loymar oyev chazok yachriv beis chazoel melech haram. So the enemy over here is Hashem will send forth. Hashem will send forth an enemy, and he will destroy the beis chazoel. The chazoel was the king of Aram. He was the king. Armanois, and we're calling Aram as Aram Tzoiva, there are a lot of Arams. Aram is a very complicated, it's a very general term. Aram, Aram Naharayim, Aram Tzoiva, there's more Arams. There's a lot of Arams. Aram, I don't know, there's a lot of Arams. So therefore, we're referring to, really, we're talking about Danesek, we're referring to Aram Tzoiva. Armanois ben Hadad, Ha'echolo Shabona ben Hadad Melech Aram. Okay, another king. Another king in Aram, these are the kings.
I think that name is still in use today.
Ben Hadad?
Yeah.
Okay. Next, this is let's take a look at Rashi. Rashi says al shloisha pishe Yisrael. What are the shloisha pishe? I'll put Damesek. The chsivit says hen kol ela yifal kel pamayim shalosh im gover v'im yoiser. That Hakadosh Baruch Hu has patience with man, with a human being, three times. Pamayim is two times, and shalosh is three times im gover. So this is a matter of humanity. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has patience with humanity up to three times. And by the way, according to the Mitzvot Davar's review, HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not tolerate Avodah Zarah, Gilui Aroyos, Shvichas Damim, even amongst the Umos HaOlam. They are part of the Sheva Mitzvos B'nei Noach. So just like we know that amongst us, it is Zarim Chamudim Ad Ma'od. Likewise, HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not tolerate these a violation of these three things as well. But Hashem says, if I'll tolerate these three things, but the fourth, Vim Yoiser Yoiser, V'kanhu V'kan Kahu, and here, that's exactly what it says. Rashi now explains what he means to say. Kivar Nahakti Imam B'midasi L'sloyach Lohem Al Shloisha Pishoim V'im Yesh Yoiser Kol Shekein Sheyesh Bichlal Hamerube Hamuat. Now, what does that mean exactly? And certainly, I don't know really what he means over here. Yoiser, Yoiser. Maybe look over here. It's the Canaan. Ois Alf, he explains this term. Pamayim shalosh im gover ve'enoi misvater Yoiser. Hashem has patience with man two times, three times, but does not forgive more. V'yim yoyim yesh yesh yoiser me'arbo kol shekein sheyesh bichlal hamerube hamuot v'kan kohu. Al shloisha pishoim, the al arba'o, kach tsaruch ligrois. So, what does he mean over here?
Okay. I've already behaved toward them according to my standard to forgive them for three transgressions. And if there are more, surely the smaller number is included in the larger amount.
What does that mean? In one? What does it mean in this context over here? That after you've done three times, I've certainly forgiven you for two, and certainly for one. That's what it means, right? If I've forgiven you for three averos, I have certainly forgiven you for two averos, and for one avera. Is that what it means?
Yeah.
That's not what it means. But once you get to number four, I'm not going to tolerate. Now, what's number four? Al peshar ein oid hashiva. Once you've gotten to level number four, you've done the... Yeah?
Oh, I see. He has a quote from Barbanel about Rashi.
Yeah.
Rashi could not believe that all of the nations mentioned below had committed exactly four sins. Therefore, he explains that if there were more, they were included in the four.
If there were more, so it means yeah.
four
means...
Four and up.
Four and up. That's what it means. It doesn't mean...
It's like up to three, it's less.
Anything more than four. Ten, I'm not going to forgive you. Anything from four and up. Some nations, Hashem ran out of patience. Five,
no,
some four.
Some of the sins had subdivisions. They were part of the original, they were four. In other words, you may list more, but they are part of the original four. They just were included in those sins. That's what the Abarbanel said. I read it.
Okay.
But the idea was that I read on some of the Chumashim that, not Abarbanel, that they said the difference between three and four is an individual gets three strikes, and a nation gets one extra strike as a community. It's not the same thing. Three strikes you're out is only for individuals, and four you get, you know, a community or a city gets four strikes, so to speak.
So he was saying the fourth one we're not going to forgive. The fourth one is that.
Exactly.
So by a human being, Hashem is going to forgive a person, individual, already three times he's going to punish.
In other words, like it brings down the Gemara. You know, you get the, you know, you're over an Avera three times, the other to keep it Tolole, you know, that's the end for you. But if it's a communal mistake, you get one extra strike. That's the significance of three and four.
Okay.
That's the way it was explained.
Okay. The call she can shesh lem shon habe at na so we babo al shven al pesher vi ein alai oil ha shiva rekam mil ha shlo gmod now there is going to be retribution. The call she can shesh lem shon habe certainly the nation has more sins at now as ze ef kol alehem I will punish asher dosh. Now what is the fourth sin in this instance? Asher dosh was yoshua gilad hasmuchim lohem, they went and they dosh. The sin we mentioned is that they crushed them. Next, Bacharutzoy Sabarzel Tirgim Yonason Bimorige de Parzla. Morige means a tool that is used to thresh, to crush the grain, to separate the kernel from the chaff. Vahu ke'ein shefina. It's a shefina, it's a tool. Shekarin lima sha'osu charitzim. It's like a board. On the board, they fashion pegs or spikes. The roidim bohem bnei adam bi yisurim. And over here, he's saying they torture people with this. Uvahem misnechatchim es kashay hatvu la'asayis taven. And what it's normally used for is to, like we said, is to crush grain. But over here, some evil people
stubble.
Right? And over here, they're using it to go and to torture people. Chazoel ben Hadad malchi Aram v'roish Aram Damesek, and the capital of Aram is Damesek. Okay, another Rashi. Okay, next. Okay, now let's take a look at the Radak. Radak pasik Radak pasik Gimel and Dalet. Pasik Gimel on the page before. I'll go back to page 267. And the Radak claim Hashem is not bitchila al goyim shehem shechinim l'eretz Yisrael. So here, this is very typical of the Trei Asar and typical of some of the other Nevi'im, is that they don't just give over prophecy to Klal Yisrael. A prophet gave over a message to the entire world. And here he's discussing, he's going to go through nation by nation. He has what to say to each nation. So first he is addressing the nation of Aram. So Hasnabe Tchila Alagoyim Shahim Shchinim Le'eretz Yisrael. Ve'hireu Yisrael Be'yosam Be'artsam. And they cause harm to Klal Yisrael. Ve'okel Yisparach Yinokei Mehem Hashem will punish. Ve'achakach Hasnabe Al Yisrael. And at the end, he will give over a message to Klal Yisrael. Shehishchisu ma'aseihem, they have done sins. V'yiglu me'artzam be'oynesh avonosam, and they have gone into exile. Milvad shelaku be'artzam b'cherev uv'ro'ov uv'adev. Besides the fact that they suffered while living in Eretz Yisrael through dying by the sword and by famine. V'ato now hechel b'damesek v'amar v'yiglu b'damesek al shleisha pishu damesek hihinei. Diminu ki yokel yisbrach lo yanish ha'adam alavoyin rishon v'sheni u'shlishi. Hashem does not punish man for his first three sins. Hashem is patient. Amish coming out of the Yamim Noyroim. Hashem has patience. It says in Sefer Micha, later on, Hen, Kol Eile Yifal Kel, all of these things Hashem is Yifal, He brings about, it means He brings about patience. Yifal, Pamayim Shalosh Im Gover. HaKadosh Baruch Hu shows His midos of patience with man twice and three times. Uvaravis, but once man comes to number four, Yani Shenu, Hashem punishes. Vine lo yashkiach al umas oilam l'toyva ulura, ki im bavur yisrael. Now here he's over here, the Radak over here is telling us something that is very, very beautiful, is that kol ha'olam, the entire world was only created for klal Yisrael. Therefore, when HaKadosh Baruch over here, when he looks at the nations of the world, he does not look at them, does not examine them for their own sake. He only analyzes them relative to the benefit and harm they give Klal Yisrael. So we had an idea in the Malbim not that long ago. He's saying over here, generally, it's a very controversial thing what he's saying here, is that if a nation does averos, but they don't bother Klal Yisrael, they mind their own business. They live on the other side of the world, they go about their business, and they don't have anything to do with Klal Yisrael. And they do averos. They're not such good people. They're corrupt, this, that. As long as you don't destroy the world. So Hashem says, I'll leave you alone. You want to be corrupt, you want to be... I'm not going to get involved. I'm not going to punish you and destroy you and do things to you. The only time I will deal with a nation who is not harming Klal Yisrael or giving benefit to Klal Yisrael is if they're so evil, I can't ignore it. It's a very controversial thing to say such a thing, because we have a principle.
Was that like Saddam?
Right. Yeah. Right. Exactly. There was nothing doing in the world. They didn't bother Avram at that point in time, but their evil was so great that Hashem says, "Haket Saka So Haboy Lai Osu Kala." With the girl, right? With the Rashi brings down the Maisa. There was a girl who gave tzedakah. There was a pauper, and the law was, you're not allowed to feed the poor. And they said, we have nothing to worry about. There was a pauper, a panhandler. Don't worry. How long can the panhandler survive if it's illegal to give him a donation? It'll be a week or two, he'll die. And we'll sweep up his body and throw it in the garbage. And the guy never goes away. The panhandler is on the train every day. He never, ever goes away. And no one is giving him money. We have cameras. It's illegal. Right, so how in the world is this panhandler still at it for years? It must be someone is secretly giving him money behind the scenes when no one is watching. And they launched an investigation. They brought down the NSA, the CIA, and the Mossad to figure out who is the person that is beating the system and is supporting this guy on the train, on the subway. And they found it. They found it was a Democrat. They found it. They found it was a liberal. They found, and it was a young girl, and they took her, and they smeared her body with honey, and they hung her up, and the beasts came and bit her, and they tortured her to death. So now, did that have anything to do with Klal Yisrael? Zero. Nothing. There was no Klal Yisrael. Hashem says, for this...
Lot was a nephew of Amram.
But Sodom wasn't. He wasn't there. It doesn't seem like it doesn't seem from the simple understanding that anything. So here, the Radak is saying something that's very, very controversial, and the Ma'amal I think says the same thing, is that for such a thing, Hashem says, I cannot tolerate. I must enter into this world and show them who is the boss. Intervene. But the implication is that if they are evil people. And they issue a decree, you can't give tzedakah. You can't give tzedakah. Let the guy die and starve to death. And as long as they would not have taken this young girl and tortured her to death, okay, you want to be Rishoyim? You can be Rishoyim. I'm not going to bother you. You can get away with it. You can live your life. How could that be? Don't we have a principle? Aren't we brought up with a principle that is Hashgacha Pratis? Everything in this world, Jews, non-Jews, animals, Every little thing in this world is subject to HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Hashgacha Pratis. And yet the Radak is saying is that I can't believe that he disagrees with this principle, but he's saying it's not apparent. If a nation is not causing harm or giving benefit to Klal Yisrael, and they're not doing averos that are off the charts, Hashem will just give them a pass, will overlook it. The only time HaKadosh Baruch Hu gets involved is one of two things. They cause harm to Klal Yisrael, or benefit to Klal Yisrael, or amongst themselves, they do something outrageous. That's something which is a very complex hashkafic principle to swallow. They don't teach that in Yeshiva Ketana. They don't teach that. In Yeshiva Ketana,
the onus of menu zeal on Yaakov and Lavan. With the Esamatze Boazos the Ra'ah. There's that line
separation.
He can't cross, and that's where Bilam banged into the wall in the middle of an open field. That's where he
crossed the line. But there he was against Klal, but there he was coming to harm Klal Yisrael.
Right. Yeah,
here
yeah,
we're dealing, he's
there,
telling
by,
us.
By Yaakov, yeah. It was still, yeah.
Here he's telling us, over here, Amos is giving over Nevuah regarding Damascus, Iran. Hashem is going to finish you off. Why? The first three Averos you've done, no, you're not good people. Hashem says, all right, none of my business. But the fourth Avera, what?
At least for now.
For now. The fourth Avera is outrageous. I have to get involved. It appears from the way the Radak is learning, they're. Conduct has nothing to do with Eretz Yisrael. They're living amongst themselves, they're living their own lives, and he's telling us these words over here. Let's read these words one more time over here in these words. V'hineh. Look what he says over here. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. 5 lines down. This is an explosive statement from the Radak. V'hineh. Lo yashkiach. Lo yashkiach. How can you say two words? Those two words. Hashem. Alumos. How can you say such a thing? Even just to say those words. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't pay attention. Lo yashkiach al umois ha'olam l'toiva v'lera'ah. Live your lives, do whatever you want, don't bother me, I won't bother you. Okay? Two ships passing in the evening. They don't know from each other. That's what Hashem says.
But here we see, like, in today's world, we see serious problems.
Oh, yeah, we're not discussing that. We're discussing, look what it's key in, go further. The only time Hashem will intervene, ki im bavur Yisrael. Today, right. Today the whole world is about the Jews. BDS. Everything today is about the Jews. But let's say, lo yitzu, you would have a nation that doesn't even know that there's something called a Jew. And they live their own lives.
China.
Hashem doesn't get involved. They already know about Jews, also China, right?
Yeah, they're Jews. You got the money.
So the Hashem, it says something here, shocking. Hashem does not get involved. Live your lives. Ella, there is one exception. If you do something outrageous, that's the only exception. Ki im, ella im ken yeh chomos godol bayoyser. But if it's not chomos godol bayoyser, it's just a little chomos, a little violence, then all right, I'm not getting involved. Kidvar dor hamabul, just like what happened by the mabul, usidoy v'amora, that was outrageous. They did sins there that was off the charts. They went way, way too far, so Hashem had no choice but to intervene. Ki hechomos mafsid hayishav, society ceased to exist because the world was corrupt. V'akel yisparach roitze b'yishav, Hashem wants there to be some normal existence in this world. V'hinei danesek, now here, he's coming to tell that. Okay, you stop right there. Like I told you. Now he's going to come and tell us that they Taka did cause harm to Klal Yisrael and they did outrageous right. things. V'chulu, v'chulu. But before he got to that, it's a shocking thing what he says. It's really, really shocking. In our Hashkafa, we are Baruch Hashem brought up in recognizing Hatsur Tamim Pe'olo Gichol Derach of Mishpat. A bird does not chirp. Unless HaKadosh Baruch Hu decrees that it should happen. Every little thing that happens is under the Hashgacha Pratis of Hashem. The question is it perceived? Is it not perceived? Can you sense it? Not sense it? Okay, that's all depending upon what Madriga we are on, but yet HaKadosh Baruch Hu is involved. And the Radak is saying that's not necessarily so. Hashem completely distances himself.
It doesn't mean that he
didn't say that? You didn't read that into the words?
He didn't
It's not popular what he says. So therefore you can't even believe that's how shocked you are, right? You're so shocked like I am to even believe to take these words literally.
Clearly there are things that are more important than other things. Avada,
okay.
Clearly, and the fact that they're doing this evil among... I'm sure right now there's some remote islands. You know, I don't know. Whatever goes on, goes on.
So the Radak is saying that based on Kadosh Baruch Hu says, you operate according to the laws of nature. There's going to be no hashkocha.
The hashkocha pratis for them is on a different level than it is...
A different level. But there is hashkocha pratis.
About that.
All right, so you're interpreting the Radak. Okay, I mean, that's what I would do. But it's not so simple. Baruch Hashem, we've been raised with a hashkafa that has penetrated our minds to an extreme degree with Baruch Hashem, Chasdei Hashem. But, you know, going back time of the Radak wasn't from yesterday. The Radak, going back to Kadmainim, going back hundreds of years. There are other Rishonim that are very radically different... radically different hashkofas, different ideas, which we're not used to. And you know, the Rambam talks about some of these type of ideas. That's why they burnt the Rambam's works. They couldn't deal with it. They could not deal with what the Rambam said. How could you say such a thing? They took the Sefer Hamada, Sefer HaMitzvos, Mor Nevuchim, and even the Yad HaChazaka, Sefer Mada. Can you imagine the Yad HaChazaka, Sefer Mada? One thing you'll tell me about the Mor Nevuchim. Okay, it's not for everyone, Mor Nevuchim. But the Yad HaChazaka, Sefer Mada, there are things that the people did not like even there. They mamash burned it. So the Radak over here, he's saying really, really heavy, heavy duty things. If you take his words literally. Now he goes further and he says, now let's analyze what it means over here in this context. Okay, in this context, it says, let's finish up this little piece over here. The Radak says over here, the Hine, it's on the very first wide line. Damesek Heireu Li Yisrael Sholosh Pam. They are going to be in the trouble anyway, because they caused harm to Klai Yisrael three times. Bimei Basha, Melech Yisrael, during the king of Basha. Basha was a Jewish king, Melech Yisrael. This is in Melachim B'Aleph. Uvimei Achav, Uvimei Yehoram, Ben Achav. The Aval Pisha Milcham B'Yisrael, Loi Nechshav Loi. So he, right away, off the chart, right off the bat, is telling us a different interpretation of what it means, the three sins. Rashi taught us, or the Radaku was it Rashi, or it was the Mitzudas taught us, the three sins are Avodah Zarah, Gili Arayos, Shvichas Damim. It wasn't such a beautiful society. People were worshipping idols, people were cheating on their wives, and there was murder taking place. Okay, that's not what he says. He says, they went to war. They went to war against the Jewish people three times. In the three kings, Malchei Yisrael, there were three incidences which are recorded, clear as day, in Sefer Melachim. That's what it means, Shelosha Pishei Damesek. Next, Lefi Shalaku Aram, and Avish Milcham Yisrael Lo Nechshav Lo. They weren't punished. They were not punished. Why were they not punished? Lefi Shalaku Aram Biyama Bevoim Be'eretz Yisrael. Because they were smitten b'yamav in their days, b'voyam b'eretz Yisrael, when they came into Eretz Yisrael. Now we say, avol hashlishis b'mei yehoram. Now what is that? That was referred to. I'm not sure what he means over here. It means that Klai Yisrael went to war. When Klai Yisrael came into Eretz Yisrael, they went to war against Aram. So I'm not sure what he means over here. Let's leave that for the moment. Avol.
He says it doesn't.
Oh, one of the ones did not.
Rum,
yeah.
Because they got whacked. So, you know, that does. So they got there. So that doesn't count.
Oh, and the third one doesn't count.
The second one.
Okay.
Yeah.
So one of them does not count because that was not a sin. The reason why they went to war was because we attacked them. So it was fair game. Because we attacked them, they had a right to attack us. It was not considered unprovoked. Okay, it was not different than that. But Avol Hashlishis Sibimei Yehochaz Ben Yehu Shenemar Ki Ibda Melech Aram, that he destroyed the king of Aram, destroyed the Jewish people in this region by Yisimeim Ka'afar Ladush. Okay, so in Hanami, there were many wars. One war or some wars were legitimate. We started up with them, so they had the right to fight back. But at least three times, we can document where Aram attacked Klal Yisrael unprovoked. And there is no excuse for that, and they should have been punished. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, you know what? Even though you did start up with my people, I'm going to give you a pass. I'm not going to obliterate you yet. Ah, but the Haravis, But the fourth time, Shabbat Yehud Be'ochaz, now when they came against not the Malchus of Yisrael, but when they came against the Malchus of Yehud Be'ochaz, Ve'oz Nenash Al Kulam. Now, once they're going to be punished, you're going to be punished retroactively for all of the wars, for all of your Averis. Shebola Melech Ashur, when did that happen? Melech Ashur came up against them, Betofas Damesek, Nigla Es Aram, and put them into exile. Kira, Vihigla Ha'am, Kira, the city, the Esritzin, Hamis, that was the king, and Esritzin was killed. So therefore, he's telling us over here, he's giving us a lot more information, the Shlesha Pishay Damesek, there were three times when they attacked Klai Yisrael unprovoked, but that was in Malchus of Yisrael. But when they attacked the Malchus of Yehuda, that already Hashem says no more, and now Hashem decided to punish them retroactively for all of the wars that were illegal, and by whom did Hashem punish them? So here the Radak is telling us something which Rashi and the Mitzudos did not tell us. Who is the enemy? Melech Ashur. Melech Ashur, he came and he destroyed Aram, exiled the people. V'chol Zenibe, all of this was prophesied. Amos Shenemar, V'shavarti B'riach Damesek, going further in the Psukim, V'higoluas Aram Kiro, Nevuah Zenibe, Amos Shishim Chamesh Shana Kodim Boya. This event was predicted 65 years before it happened. Ephraim will cease to exist. The Malchus of Aseres Hashvatim ceased to exist. And that happened at the same time. Aram was defeated by Ashur at the same time that Melech Ashur exiled the Aseres Hashvatim. And Amos is now speaking 65 years before the Golos of the Aseres Hashvatim. Uperush lo yashivenu loy ashivenu el slichasi. I will no longer forgive them. I will no longer shesolachti loy sholosh famim v'yisi meishiv oisei b'chol pam el slichasi im lo hayoshav el pishay. I went and I forgave them even if they did not do teshuvah. Aval achash sheshav oid al pishay. After they violated, they've done aver four times. Anishenu al kulam. He's telling us the chiddush is that now when they will be punished, they'll be punished limafreya retroactively on the other sins. The hiske hakasha shabuchem v'hu. What is the worst thing that they have done? Al dusham b'charutzas havarzel es agilot shenemar v'yakem chazol b'chol gvul yisrael min hayarden b'mishach hashemesh eschol eretz agilot. So here he's telling us over here is that who did he torture? From the Mitzudos and from Rashi, it's not clear. It would seem to indicate they tortured other goyim, other nations. Who did they torture with making iron spikes? So it doesn't say. You would read the Psukim, you would really think to say is they had some other internal affairs, and there were other nations that they went to war with, and they tortured their enemies. According to the Radak, they tortured us. Radak is very specific. When they went to war against Malchus of Yehuda, of Ochaz, they tortured us. They took Jews and they put them in torture chambers. And therefore Hashem says no more. And he's telling us over here, Gilad means those who lived in Gilad. Obviously they knew something that we did not know. If David did this to Ammon, obviously torture works. Isn't that the big debate today? Isn't that the big debate? Does torture, waterboarding, does it work? Forget about... Does it really work or not? So you read about this in the news. Does it? Does? Not necessarily. Yeah. They tell you, I don't know. They don't tell you the truth, right?
I've heard that.
They don't tell you, they'll never tell you the truth. Because they don't, whatever, but that they at least they presented the media a big dilemma. I don't know the truth. If it's really effective, if it really accomplishes something. Do they really accomplish something by torturing the people, the ISIS and Al-Qaeda and all these Meshugayim they capture? So David did it. If David did it, it must work. Right? If the Goyim did it, so we don't know what's going on. But if David tortured, it says David took, he did worse than waterboarding done. David did worse, it says. He took iron spikes, it says. And he tortured them. It's not that bad? I wouldn't want to go under.
On the scale of
torture?
Yeah.
Maybe it's even worse.
Yeah.
It sounds like you're drowning.
Yeah.
All right, we'll stop here. Take a short break. How's the Yom Tov?
Very nice. Better than I would have, you know, because I always wondered what we're going to get.
How's the Yom Tov? Welcome back. Your children came to you?
Just the first day. The second day, I mean, my kids are all, you know, they're so
ensconced
in their community.
They got their hands full.
They have to do. They sherm and doing other things and laning and various responsibilities. They're locked into. That's why two.